to my dojo. This is Kung Fu Pizza Party, and I'm your host, Brandon Knight. And today, we're going back to the arcade as I discuss survival horror games. Here on Kung Fu Pizza Party, I seek to deliver high-flying action in 30 minutes or less and serve some wisdom one slice at a time. And you heard me correctly, folks. I'm talking survival horror today. I know survival horror is not necessarily a video game genre that you would immediately associate with martial art media, and rightfully so, I would say. I do think that horror in general is a genre that pairs nicely with other genres. And even when you have a form of horror media that's not explicitly martial art related, I think it does, it becomes a little bit of like a thought exercise of like, okay, what would I do as a martial artist if I was attacked by zombies, werewolves, Jiangxi, a dude in a hockey mask wielding a chainsaw, you know? I think it does kind of play a little bit of like, I think it's fun to kind of play like a little bit of these mental gymnastics of like, what would I do in that kind of scenario as a martial artist? Now, this going to the arcade series is the reason why we're going to the arcade throughout this year is because there are several video games getting films this year, specifically for this show, Mortal Kombat 2 and Street Fighter. But in the survival horror genre, Silent Hill and Resident Evil both are getting films this year. Return to Silent Hill, I think, just came out or is about ready to come out this month. And then Resident Evil is getting its latest reboot attempt later this year in September. Now, I haven't played too many survival horror games throughout my life. I am a mild gamer. I like video games. I'm actually kind of hoping from this series I'm doing this year for Kung Fu Pizza Party that it kind of turns me into a bit more of an avid gamer. It's not that I want to put my head in the sand and pretend that there's nothing going on in the world that's slowly crumbling around us, but also I do need a bit of a break every once in a while, so gaming seems like a good avenue for that. This is all coming together quite nicely for me. So I wanted to do something a bit different for today's episode, and if you enjoyed it, make sure you let me know. You can slide into the show's DMs on Instagram at Kung Fu Pizza Party or leave a comment there on this episode, because what I did here is I sat down and I downloaded four mobile survival horror games, and I'm going to tell you about these four survival horror games. They're all a little bit different from each other. I'm just going to give you a little bit of my honest review of the games themselves, and then from the game mechanics, how I think you as a martial artist, or if you wanted to get into martial arts, or as me as a martial artist, how I would in real life prepare to survive the horror situation in question. So, like I said, I got four games here to talk to you all about. We'll hit these rapid fire. Coming up first, we have Monster Survivors. Now, this is a very simple survive the waves of just hordes of zombies and other kinds of monsters attacking you as you are this like little stick figure dude. The game takes care of mostly everything for you. It does the shooting. You have an endless amount of ammunition. It does all the aiming for you. You're really just moving the guy around the map, trying to avoid the hordes, escape the hordes, and pick up some power-ups along the way, and just trying to see how far you can survive. I was a teenager in the late 2000s, 2010s, and so I was terrible at Call of Duty, even though that was like the big thing, was like the early days of Call of Duty and Halo, but I could hold my own with Nazi zombies, and this game kind of brought me back to that a little bit. Obviously, you had way more to do in Nazi zombies than in this game. You basically, like I said, you're just running the character around the map. But the The whole like surviving wave after wave, and the hordes get bigger and bigger and more intense and things like that. Like that, just, it took me back a little bit. Actually, after I played this game, I was trying to find something a little bit more like Nazi Zombies to play. Unfortunately, I couldn't find anything on mobile to play like that. I'm sure there's got to be some other Nazi zombie thing out there, because who doesn't want to shoot a Nazi zombie in the face? I don't even have to say. So we have the. So this is our first game, and I would say this was probably my second favorite of the four games that I did play. It's definitely one of those ideal, like, you just download it and it fills an afternoon for you. And then you happily move on. You know, I think I played this maybe like 2, 3 days at most, just kind of like plop down on the couch and mess around with it for a while and then move on with the rest of my life. And it was good. It was fun while it lasted. I don't really have anything bad to say about, you know, it was very clean, it was not buggy whatsoever. The one thing that I wish it could have more of is that, like I said, it did all of the weapon stuff for you, which was a bit of a bummer. But the reason why this game caught my attention in the first place is because it made a point to say in the like description and little graphics that you can look at in the App Store, is that there was a parkour element that you could master the art of parkour. And I was like, oh, I do parkour. I do ninja. Tell me more. Now, for this game, it's very, very light parkour. It's nowhere near like I think the game was it Dead by Daylight. It's nothing along the lines of those games. But it's basically like there's these little hills that you can climb up, and then you can do a massive dive roll off of. You can kind of tic-tac a little bit off of the sides of these hills as well. A tic-tac, for those of you who don't know, is kind of like the when you kick off of something and then land on another spot. You can think of like an American Ninja Warrior, the ricochet panels when they kick across, you know, that's doing a tic-tac, that kick that you do across. So you could do the dive roll, you could do a tic-tac. There was also like these zip lines that can move you around the map a little bit too. So a little bit parkour, a tiny bit of warrior. But here's the thing. I do really think, and it's funny as a martial artist giving you my first take on surviving a real horror, survival horror encounter, is that honestly, I think parkour and warrior could be a great thing for you to go train in, because the point of parkour and warrior, which warrior is all of the like climbing apparatus stuff that you see like an American Ninja Warrior, the point of parkour and warrior is basically to open up avenues of travel for you that otherwise wouldn't be available. You know, if you just stay on the path, you could get easily swarmed. However, if you know a way to like maneuver your way around through the tops of buildings or through the backs of yards by hopping fences and all this kind of stuff, learning how to do parkour in Warrior could legitimately keep you safe in a like trying to escape an attacker kind of situation. So, yeah, honestly, like, it's funny being a martial artist, and the first thing I have to say has really nothing to do with actual martial arts, but honestly, learning how to safely maneuver over obstacles and climbing up obstacles could do you some good if you are being attacked by a horde of zombies, or even just like, you know, a dog is chasing you. Like, just to go into the real world for a second, like, even if a dog is chasing you, like, being able to kind of like move your body around into places where the dog couldn't reach you or the zombies can't get to you, like, it's for your good to learn how to do these things. Let's move on now to game number two. Game number two, Sword Hero Survivor. So Sword Hero Survivor. After I finished up my first game, I wanted to find something where I could actually like use the weapons more, and because it was fun making the guy run around the map, but I was like, I want to kill some zombies. Like, let's do this. So I scrolled around and I didn't really want one of those games. You see them on commercials all the time of, on YouTube or whatever, of the, it's like the panels are moving forward, and if you shoot them so many times, you get a weapon or, times two characters or whatever. I didn't want to do one of those. I wanted something a little bit more interactive, right? So that's where this game comes in. And honestly, this ended up being my least favorite game of the four. I played it for one afternoon, barely. I probably did not put more than 30 minutes into this game, and I was already over it. And it's just because, so it's another horde survival game, but this time you're like landlocked into one spot, and you're just being surrounded by, various forms of monsters, and you get to use a sword. And you get to like wield it around the map. Like your finger just goes all around. Your character is stationary, but you get to take his, I guess, magic sword and cut all the monsters around you. And you can get like power-ups and things like that. But honestly, one was not very challenging whatsoever. I think it's part of the reason why I lost interest. And also, it was just kind of lame just being stationary. Also, your character obviously had a health bar, but your sword would also run out of energy, which is not how swords work. But your sword would run out of energy, and then you would just have to watch your little stationary guy hopefully survive for like the 20 seconds it took for the health meter on the sword to recharge. So I think if I could have gotten that the first game, the Monster Survivors, with a little bit more interactive weapons, I wouldn't have needed to try this really crappy game. It also, like, visually was my least favorite game. Yeah. The next game I'm going to talk about, not too thrilled by the graphics. I don't know if that's going to be a hot take or not. It's going to be a game that you know. So far, I'm talking about a little bit more like niche, quick download games. But the reason why I really wanted to get a little bit more intuitive weapon, or not intuitive, interactive weapons, is because naturally, in a survivor situation, in a horror, zombie, monster, serial killer situation, we gotta talk about weapons at some point, right? And honestly, that was not the focal point of these games that I played. And if I understand correctly, like a true horror survival game, especially like the OGs that are getting movies this year, the weapons aren't necessarily the central focus. I'll talk more about that here in a moment. But here's the thing about weapons in a zombie survival situation. Obviously, the gun is the biggest advantage and disadvantage. Because with a firearm, you can start taking out zombies from a very safe distance. However, I am a big believer in the fact that if zombies did come back to life and start attacking us, that the whole gunshots attract more is going to be a real thing. I'm not a big, like, yeah, zombies could run kind of person, but I do think that if they would be attracted to loud noises. And so, with that in mind, again, as a martial artist, I'm going to recommend doing something that has very little to do with martial arts. You do find dojos that offer firearm safety classes and, obviously how to disarm an attacker with a firearm. But yeah, hit the gun range. I think even though I'm not necessarily a big fan of guns and not necessarily a big fan of guns in survival horror situations, but it is going to be a big advantage to you from a distance standpoint when it comes to fighting off these zombies. And with that, also, this is America. You'll be able to find plenty of them. Be honest. Like, you'll be able to stumble upon a firearm somewhere. So take some firearm classes. That being said, although the melee weapons do run the risk of a zombie getting way too close to you, or in the case of, like Ghostface or Jason or something like that, like they could outmuscle you and get whatever it is from you. From a noise standpoint, I do think melee weapons make more sense. Obviously, you have to get a baseball bat with a bunch of pointy things sticking out of it. That is survival 101, also a cricket bat, if you know, you know. But any kind of obviously knife, not anything as small as like brass knuckles, I would say, but hammer, crowbar, bat, pointy or not, like these kinds of like heavy blunt objects or very sharp weapons will also do you some good. And so with that, I can actually start talking about martial arts because there is no gun fu, but there are plenty of martial arts who do focus on weapons that also can translate into easily accessible household items. In this scenario, I would say one of your best bets is to start training in the art that is often referred to as Arinus, Kali, or Eskrima. It's like three different arts and yet one all at the same time. It's kind of like the Trinity. I have trained a little bit with Eskrima. Those are like baton weapons that, if you remember the Teen Titans cartoon from the early 2000s, what Robin uses, like basically those kinds of like baton weapons, those are something that you could very easily get your hands on in other shapes and forms, a rolling pin kind of thing, and could be used as a heavy blunt object against monster attackers. If I also understand this Holy Trinity of Filipino arts, Kali focuses a little bit more on knife wielding, so I do think having, especially if you got Ghostface coming after you, you're gonna need to know how to wield around a buck knife. So, like, it's on the off chance that you get your hands on it, and even more so than guns, every house is gonna have a knife somewhere. You're gonna be able to stumble upon a butcher's knife or something. So, those kinds of arts would be good for you. Kendo would be good as well. Something, obviously, I don't know how well a kendo stick would actually do against a werewolf, but still, just to kind of have like some kind, even like fencing, just kind of like some kind of basic sword play kind of training to, because that does give you a bit more of a reach as well. Obviously, not as much as a firearm, but then you're not attracting more with noise. So, moving on now to game number three. So far, we need to train in parkour and warrior. So, you should come take ninja classes from me. We need to hit the gun range and buy some Eskrima sticks and learn how to whip those things around. Maybe light some nunchucks on fire. And I guess that depends on if you're cool with burning zombies. That has to smell awful, by the way. But now it's time for game number three. Hello, neighbor. Yeah, that's right. I picked out one of the ones the kids play, or at least the kids used to play. I don't know if Hello Neighbor is still a thing for the kids or not. For those of you who have not played this game, this is actually my first introduction to the game. Basically, it's Disturbia, it's Rear Window. Actually, honestly, it's more like Don't Breathe, where you're trying to sneak around your neighbor's house because you're pretty sure there is something real shady going on in the basement. And this game's art graphics aren't my favorite. It's still better than the other game, Sword Hero Survivor. But it's very cartoony, even though it sounds it what you're, what could be going on is actually quite grotesque, but it is very like it's very cartoony looking. I never played this game before, and basically, you're an unarmed teenager trying to sneak around your neighbor's house without getting detected. It was fun for a little bit, and then I figured out that I am terrible at this kind of a game. Oh my gosh, I'm so glad I didn't pay the money to play Five Nights at Freddy's because I think I would have sucked at that game because I sucked at Hello Neighbor. It was fun at first. Really good jump scares. As cartoony as it was still really good, like jump scares, because basically it looks like the neighbor is about ready to strangle you every time he like pops up out of nowhere. And I kind of started getting the hang of it a little bit, but then I realized that it was just going to be a lot of like memorization in order to kind of like figure your way through the house to figure out what's going on and like. For the, I think if I was just playing for the sake of playing, I may have hung in there longer, but just as a like experiment for an episode, I was like, yeah, I think I'm done getting jump scared. I even stopped jumping at some point. But when it comes to sneaking around your neighbor's house or checking out an abandoned barn to see maybe if you can hold up in there, here's the thing, and this is great news for everybody. It's time to start learning ninjutsu. Yeah, because as silly as ninjutsu or Nimpo Taijutsu can kind of get at times, because it does really blur the lines a lot between actual historical ninjas and the pop culture, what we want ninjas to be. Stealth is still a big part of it, moving patiently, moving swiftly around, kind of watching your environment, choosing the right time to move and to attack. And who knows if it would actually really help. Maybe this might be a little bit of bad advice. Who knows if it would actually really help or not, but on paper, if that's what they are promising, then let's do it. Let's learn some ninjutsu. And we're going to go sneaking around our neighbors' houses to see if they're doing terrible things or if this is a safe spot to camp out for the night. Is there any zombies hiding in this? Are the zombies in the room with us right now? Like, you just looked over your shoulder to see if there were any, didn't you? So yeah, hello neighbor. I can totally see why people would be really into it. As I'm talking about it more, I feel like I might pull it up and play a little bit more. It's been a minute now, but I might give it a little bit more of a chance. Just from like an experiment standpoint, it just wasn't really worth my time to keep getting jump scared and strangled or whatever it was. Maybe he's just like picking me up and throwing me out of his house. I don't know. Maybe it's just something easy like that. But now it's time to talk about the final game, which was my favorite game from this experiment. Resident Evil Survivor Unit. Yep, I picked one of the OGs. Okay, so it's not like an actual OG Resident Evil game. It's a mobile game, part of the Resident Evil universe, but you can't talk about survival horror without talking about Resident Evil or Silent Hill. Like they are the top dogs. Like they are the best that the genre has to offer. And this game, though it was definitely like Resident Evil Lite, I really liked it. I really enjoyed it. It looked really good on my phone. I enjoyed the puzzle solving, the whole bit. Like it was good. I have a smaller phone, so there were times where it was kind of hard for me to see what was going on. And there's a lot of dialogue boxes, and I probably should have been paying more attention, but there were points where I was just like rapid fire trying to skip through everything to get back to the gameplay part. But overall, I really enjoyed it. And the thing about Resident Evil and Silent Hill is that although there is plenty of other mechanics and, combat and the whole thing that is a part of those game series, a big feature of these games is the puzzle solving. Survivor horror, especially games like Resident Evil and Silent Hill, are Zelda games for horror nerds. Like this, it is a bit, they're big puzzle solving games, right? And I loved it. I was here for it with this Resident Evil game I was playing. Think of that. I was enamored by a Resident Evil mobile game. Imagine how I would feel playing a real one. So, I re that's what you need to you. What the heck am I trying to say right So, how do you get ready for that in from the martial artist standpoint? Because I do need to start wrapping this episode up, and I'm not taking on a challenge to record myself playing Five Nights at Freddy's for all of you to watch. No, that's not happening in this episode. But how does a martial artist get ready for puzzle solving? Is there a martial art that actually makes you smarter? I'm sure somebody is going to say yes, and it's this one, and they'll probably make an argument for Aikido. That seems like the one that people would say, oh yeah, it definitely makes you smarter. Really? But here's my idea. How do you get ready for puzzle solving? Because obviously, in the real world, if you're going to be in a survival horror situation with zombie dogs attacking you and other, pyramid heads chasing you around, you might not have to be solving like puzzles like Zelda kind of things, but there could be situations where you need to do some problem solving or strategize or just try to think outside of the box and MacGyver your way through a situation. How could the martial arts get you ready for that? Here's my pitch. Do some combat sports. Go take some MMA classes. Do some no-gi Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Take some Muay Thai classes. Maybe even do, actually not maybe, do plenty of sparring, because combat sports are going to teach you to make a game plan and to execute that game plan, to strategize and to carry out and to troubleshoot in real time when the plan doesn't go according to how you want it to. So yeah, I'm going to say, I'm taking a shot in the dark here, but I'm going to say that along with doing parkour and warrior, hitting the gun range, learning Eskrima, and finally indulging your childhood dream of training in ninjutsu, go take some Brazilian jiu-jitsu or Muay Thai or broadly MMA, get some sparring in and learn how to think critically through an attack plan and then how to troubleshoot and fix a situation when things go south. So that is a martial artist take on survival horror games and how you can prepare yourself for surviving these encounters into the real world. Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you haven't yet already, please rate and review this show wherever you get your podcast. Normally, I talk about movies. By the way, if this is the first time you're checking things out, I normally talk about movies. Sorry, this was a weird one to jump in on, but hey, come back for a right proper movie review next time. You can follow the show on Instagram at Kung Fu Pizza Party, on Letterboxd, Kung Fu Pizza PRTY, and you can check out my YouTube channel, Studio 219, a place for faith and pop culture. Check out the other great shows here on the Amazon Ministries Podcast Network, like Why I Don't Like, Systematic Egology, and my sister show, My Seminary Life, where I talk about all things faith and theology. And check out the merch that recently dropped on the Anazao Ministries Podcast Network website. There's a new Kung Fu Pizza Party shirt. I think there was a hat, a sticker, a crew neck, a whole bunch of different things. My Seminary Life, all the other shows have merch as well. So check it out. You can find a link for that on the Kung Fu Pizza Party Instagram. And that's it for me. So thank you for listening. This has been Kung Fu Pizza Party, where I have delivered high-flying action in 30 minutes or less and served up some wisdom one slice at a time.